Welcome back, everyone, to a very, very uneventful week in F1. But don't worry at all, because we're gonna call something together. Trust me, we have a great show in store for you, I think.
I've got news.
Yeah,
I've got news.
No, there has been some bits, and there are some bits actually that I think you wouldn't have picked up on, right? Matt's a little detective online, right? He picks up all these hidden little gems. But if you're new here, make sure you click the subscribe button, like the video if you're watching. If you're listening to us, do give us a 5-star rating, because it does make a really big difference to the podcast and we really appreciate it. And we just like seeing nice 5-star reviews. I think our average rating is like 4.7. Not bad, right? Considering we've had some controversies, you know, a lot of people dislike many of our opinions. A lot of people...
I mean, we were 4.7 before we became consistent.
Yeah. Oh, so we just haven't increased. Well, that's probably kind of good. I think that means...
We haven't got worse. We haven't got better.
And, you know, we made up with the Colapinto fans. That was nice. A little reconciliation. I think their issue was... Apparently, I didn't word it very correctly in the first place. Or very appropriately in the first place. I apologise for that if I offended anyone. But, yeah, we actually have some... I know we've been banging on about this really, really exciting news that Racecast has for 2025. And you're probably thinking, lads, it's February. Like, hurry up. And you'd be right, but we can't officially confirm what the news is at this very point in time, but we can confirm that it will be confirmed. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's internally confirmed, right? The big news is confirmed. We just need to work on the marketing logistics of how we're going to go through announcing everything. So make sure you follow us on social media if you do want to... be kept up to date with all that. You can just search Racecast on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter, but we don't use Twitter very much, so maybe just stick to the previous two, because we are actually very active there, and that is where you're going to hear everything straight off the bat. That might be news. We upload clips there, so if you don't want to watch the whole podcast, that's absolutely fine, but before you go, do click like, because we like that. Yeah, and that's where you're going to hear about it, so that's what I would do if I was you. So stay tuned, because there are big, big things coming, but... Anyway, I've been rambling on for like 2 minutes now, so should we get on with the show?
Well, I'm just sitting here waiting. Welcome along, everyone. Hope you're all good. First question, Luke, are you coming running with me this week?
Did you see I went for a run yesterday? Oh, I'm not sure if you have me on Strava.
I don't have you on Strava.
Did a 5K.
I did a 15K yesterday.
No, I saw that. I saw. Good time as well.
Yeah, I mean, I struggled.
I wasn't setting out for a PB, and I didn't achieve a PB, but... I did run a 5K fairly comfortably up until the last kilometer, 23 minutes, and I want to say 16 seconds.
Decent, though.
Pretty good.
Decent.
You know, and I was just, I'm not running as such at the moment. I'm playing football. I can't really run while I'm playing football because it kind of fucks up my football ability. But I was pretty impressed with that. It was 30 seconds off my PB. But when I got my PB, I was really trying for my PB. I just went out for a cruise.
That's good, though. That is decent. I did my yesterday. I did my PB for my 10K and my 15K.
Nice.
So for you guys who don't know, in four weeks today, I'm doing my first ever half marathon, which is Brighton Half Marathon. And
he's doing it for a really good cause. It's for the Matt Jackson Foundation. You will be contributing towards next month's mortgage payments.
It's for Macmillan Cancer Trust. Thank you very much. So, yeah, obviously...
There'll be a link in the description if you do want to donate. You absolutely can do that.
Would appreciate that. But yeah, I'm a bit nervous now. And I know this is going to sound really weird, and I will get onto F1 in a second. But I don't know for you guys if you've you know, done half marathons before, whatever. But I usually do my own circuit, so I kind of know... my route. I know where
he picks roughly... the downhill circuits.
No, I picked some. The one we
then
did.
Then he'll get a taxi back home afterwards.
An Uber. But I had a proper look at the half marathon route the other day, and let's just say I kind of started to shit myself because I looked at it and I was like, okay, that looks a bit extreme.
But what, are you worried that you won't be able to complete it, or are you worried that you won't get it done in a good time? Because I'm not being funny. If you can run 15K, you can run 21K.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried necessarily about running the distance, because I think I can do that.
Do you have a time in mind?
I would like to do 2 hours and under, but for my first one, I'd take whatever. Like, just to actually do it, I would be quite happy with. But for me, it's going to be quite weird, because I'm going to be surrounded by, surprise, so many other runners.
Mm-hmm.
they'll be going at different paces. It's not going to be like a clear route like I'm normally used to.
The good thing for you, though, is you're not going to be surrounded by the quick runners, because they'll be way up ahead.
Oh, that's very true. It's very true. Thanks very much for that. Thanks very much for that. But no, well done on your PB for almost for your 5K.
Yeah, no. You've been consistent with the training. It's not easy being consistent with running training. And if you're someone like me, I find running one of the most boring things in the world. The people that, you might be one of them, absolutely fine, I just don't understand it. People are like, oh, I just love going for a run, like getting out, clearing my head. I'm literally thinking, like, every step, I'm like, I wonder how many I've got left, because I am just so bored. I'd much rather go to the gym. It's not even like I hate cardio. I'm not like, oh, this is so hard, I can't wait for it to be over. It's just like, God, this is boring.
I mean, I've now got to a point where I have a good, like, running playlist. I'm kind of just getting to zone. But I go through, and I'm sorry, I know if you've tuned in for an F1 podcast, we will get on to F1 in a second. But I want to hear from you guys. If you do run, do comment down below. I go through every single piece of emotion when I'm running, because I went for a 15K last week, and I was halfway, about 4K in, I was like, I can't do this, I'll do 7K. I got to 6K and I was like, okay, I'll do 10K. I got to 8K, I was like, no, okay, I'll do 15K. I go through all different stages, and it's so bizarre.
I also think that's the thing with running. Like, I'm very much like, I'll get to a certain point. I'll do like 2K and I'm like, I ain't running 10. And then I get to like 5 and I'm like, oh, well, I might as well just do 7. And then it's like, you get to 7, you're like, well, there's only fucking 3K down the road. Yeah, I might as well just do 10.
But it's like you go through every single bit of emotion through that whole, and you know, when people talk about the wall, when you hit the wall, you go through that different stages. And yesterday I was running at quite a consistent pace. Yesterday was too fast for me. I realized when I completed it, I think it was like 5:29 per kilometer I was averaging. That was too quick for me. To be able to do a 2 hour, I need to do 5:40, which I think is, I could comfortably
do. 5:40?
5:40.
I was going to say, that'd be a very slow kilometer.
That would be. But
by the time you got back, I might be dead, and I'm a young man, kind of.
So yeah, 4 weeks a day, I'm doing that. But well done, though.
You know what we should do?
What?
We should run all the way to the What's Coming Up segment that you promised to do every single week.
Oh yeah, okay. So this week, we're going to be talking Adrian Newey. He's back in the news. We got Yuki Tsunoda, reserve driver for Red Bull.
Yeah, we spoke about that. This happens every single week. I'm sorry to interrupt, but we speak about stuff, right? Because, again, it's Sunday for us. The podcast comes out Tuesday. And then the shit that we speak about is announced the next day.
Yeah.
It's like clockwork. What? Also, last week, what did we say about Lewis and Charles?
Yeah.
And I said on the podcast, I said, yeah, they'll be out tomorrow. Don't worry.
The next day, they came out.
They were.
George Russell on Kimi Antonelli. We got Haas. Are they more stable now, a team going forward? Is Lewis Hamilton really under pressure? We've got a hypothetical question for you. The people liked it last week, the team principal one, so I've got 5 new drivers for you. Also, we're bringing back Guess the Driver as well, but I've kind of changed it around, so I won't, you know, when I get to
need a clue. Yeah, I'm not having those silly ones.
No. Christian Horner also goes after Johnny Herbert. So much coming up on this episode, so do stay tuned.
Can I just take us back to one of... Why is George Russell on Kimi Antonelli?
Well, he gives his opinion on Kimi Antonelli.
Oh, right, got you.
Yeah, he's not on him.
Okay, this isn't a physical altercation that they've had.
No. Okay. we start that rumour. Massive fight between Kimi and George.
No, to be fair, I've heard
Who do you
it.
Think would win?
George. 100. Have you seen Kimi? Firstly, right, he's 18, right? He's got a lot of development to... Everyone thinks they're big when they're 18, and then, like, you're just not. Like, you're not. Like, I look back at pictures, and I'm not particularly big now. Like, I'm kind of tall, but... You look back at pictures of yourself at 18, where, like, at the time, because you're kind of, like, on top of the world, you're 18, young, confident, cocky. Like, I thought I was a big guy at 18. Holy shit. I looked like I'd been ironed. Mm. It was incredible. I was like a cardboard cutout human.
Who'd win out a fight between me and you? Okay, right, let's get on to some F1 news. Right, so, Adrian Newey, he's back. As we know, in March, he starts with Aston Martin.
He starts in March?
He starts in March.
Interesting. Yeah. Didn't know that. I assumed it would just be from January.
No, March. And he's been talking a bit about his Red Bull, ex-Red Bull team. So Adrian Newey explains that some of his reservations were not shared by his colleagues at Red Bull. So he said, from what I could see, the 24 car and the very last stages of 23 car, I would say, was starting to become more difficult to drive. Of course, Max could handle that, but Checo could not. So you also started through 23 to see more a difference in performance between the teammates, which actually we've seen, which we've discussed, the difference between Sergio Perez and Max Verstappen. That carried into the first parts of 24, but the car was still quick enough for Max Verstappen to be able to cope with. It's something I was starting to become concerned about, but not many other people in the organisation seem to be very concerned. And this got me thinking, because we're going to start to hear a bit more about from Adrian Newey now. He's going to become, you know, more in the spotlight when he joins Aston Martin. And that was, it's been pretty evident, isn't it? Red Bull's performance has declined.
Yeah.
Especially what we've seen in 24, but perhaps they've seen that in 23. If you've got Adrian Newey coming to you, going, I'm concerned that our performance is going to tail off and we're going to really struggle. It's very bizarre that people within the organisation don't take those same concerns, because there's not many people who would come to you and go, I'm concerned, and like, look, it's only Adrian Newey. Well, he doesn't know what he's on about.
What I will say is I do find this an interesting statement, and I'll tell you why. To me, it kind of sounds like mind games a little bit.
Yeah.
Adrian Newey was, I may be wrong here. My understanding is that he was in charge of Aero, right? Yeah. That was, he was the top dog. I don't really think there's anywhere in the world where the employees just don't listen to you, right? You've got a boss, yep. Presumably.
Yeah.
If your boss comes to you and says, Matt, you need to do this. This is what's happening within the organisation. You need to do this. You can't just be like, nah. So I'm not sure what's going on here. I don't think that's... I'm not saying his reservations about the car are untrue. Because, firstly, if anyone can see a car that is sort of depreciating in performance, it'll be this guy. I think just because they continued winning throughout the whole 2023 season... also doesn't mean the car wasn't showing signs of depreciation.
Yeah.
Completely agree with all this, not disputing the facts. And then 2024, we actually got to see that. But I can't imagine that people would not be listening to Adrian Newey.
Well, that's what my thoughts were. And from what he's saying about, you know, you've seen a decline, we have seen that. But it's very easy to say when we've already seen it, if that makes sense. So it's kind of like we've seen a decline in Red Bull's performance. So it's easy for Adrian Newey to come out now and go, I did say yeah. That was going to be the case, you know, because you can't argue whether that is true or not, because you've seen they've, you know.
But I would back that he almost definitely identified this. But I just can't see a world in which Adrian Newey, right, look, he's the greatest car designer, F1 car designer of all time. Yeah. You can't, the facts back that. I can't imagine a world in which people just don't listen to him, especially when he's their boss.
Yeah.
That just doesn't
happen. But I'm wondering who he's raising concerns, because it could be to Christian Horner, it could be to Helmut Marko, it could be to any of these people going, and this, I'm concerned.
This obviously adds up more, right? Because there's clearly a power, maybe less so now, because... you know, Adrian Newey and Jonathan Wheatley have both left the team. Jos Verstappen is...
in charge.
Yeah. But it seems like he's now less involved in certain areas due to disputes with Christian Horner. And clearly Red Bull have backed Horner over that as he managed to keep his job, which, fine, whatever, old news. But I feel like there was just maybe more of a power struggle going on. And I still don't see why Adrian Newey would leave Red Bull unless there wasn't some sort of dispute internally. So I get this of him saying people weren't listening to him. I believe that would have been right at the very top.
Mm.
But then Christian Horner's not a stupid man, right? Yeah. You know, I've called him many things. A stupid man when it comes to like his knowledge of the F1 world, and F1 is not one of them. Christian Horner is not going to sit there, listen to Adrian Newey, and then be like, nah, you're wrong. So it's just a bit confusing. That's why I started this by saying, is it mind games? Is it now actually, you know, he's Team Aston Martin now. What loyalty does he have to Red Bull? This is a competitive sport. As far as he's concerned, he can stick two fingers up to Red Bull. I hate this concept in sport where, like, oh, this individual owes this team, or this team owes this individual for... You know, I said the same about Mercedes don't owe Lewis anything. Lewis doesn't owe Mercedes anything. They work together. They won everything at the time. Now Lewis races for Ferrari. He's not going to turn up and be like, oh, should I just let George buy? It is a Mercedes after. Go on, buddy. The same way in which Mercedes is not going to be like, George, it's Lewis behind you. Like, can you just pull over? Just, it doesn't happen in sports. So Adrian Newey owes Red Bull nothing. Why would he not start playing mind games?
Yeah, no, true. Do let us know. Do you think it's mind games? Yuki Tsunoda. So, look, Yuki's not good enough for that Red Bull seat, but he is good enough for the reserve seat at Red Bull. And that's exactly what's happened. Yuki Tsunoda will be the reserve driver for Red Bull for the 2025 season. And he is also the next in line in case something happens to Max or Liam.
I can't work out if it's a kick in the teeth or if it's a positive thing. You know, like...
It's a kick in the teeth.
Yeah. Is it a little bit like dangling a donut in front of a fat person? You know, it's just like, you might get it, but it's on a fishing rod and I'm walking backwards.
It's a kick in the teeth. There's no positive outcome here. When I say positive outcome, it is because Yuki still gets to be a reserve driver. However, weren't good enough to get the Red Bull seat, which we've discussed many times we thought he deserved. However, Liam Lawson, who you beat last year, will take that seat, but we're going to give you the runner-up seat.
But there are two ways you could look at this. Is it actually this a lifeline? We know that FIA are bringing in new rules,
yeah,
which strictly prohibit swearing of any kind. Now, in fairness, Yuki Tsunoda is actually one of the big swearers on the grid, but the other, Max Verstappen, right? What if Max finds himself with a ban? He won't, he's too clever. He gets a ban, right? Yuki steps up. It's him and Lawson in the Red Bull. That would be a weird turn of events, by the way. For whatever race, let's say Bahrain. Max started swearing really early. And Yuki Tsunoda comfortably beats Liam Lawson. What is Christian Horner thinking at that point?
Exactly what?
And what
we thought would happen?
What if Yuki's quicker on the simulator than Lawson? You know, they'll have all that data. They'll be able to collect a lot of data to see. And maybe, just maybe, this is why I say, is it a kick in the teeth? Or is it a lifeline for Yuki Tsunoda? Because we know how, despite Sergio Perez, but I think Sergio Perez bought himself time with how good he was in 21. And then he was there or thereabouts 22. Granted, he was given way too long. Mm. But he did buy himself time because he came in and actually performed relatively.
Hello.
Relatively well. Sorry, if you're listening, a hat just fell on me. Which, prior to that, drivers hadn't done in that second Red Bull seat next to Max Verstappen. You could argue Danny Ric was the last driver to truly do it. Yeah. And even he ended up fleeing the team. If Liam Lawson, on that basis, is going to be under scrutiny, right? It doesn't matter how you look at it. He is going to be under scrutiny. If they're tracking Yuki Tsunoda in exactly the same car, knowing that he is a very viable option, if Yuki Tsunoda is looking very strong in testing sessions, simulation sessions, and Liam Lawson is really underperforming, well, they know off the bat, well, let's get Yuki in. He's doing great. And that's what I say. It could be a it's a lifeline to Red Bull, but it could also be a lifeline to Yuki's Red Bull career.
Yeah. Either way, we'll see what happens with that. And I think for Christian Horner, it's a win-win, isn't it, really? You know, you've got the driver you want in Liam Lawson. Actually, the other driver who you would like to pick, you can't give him a seat, but actually the next best thing is putting him in a reserve driver seat.
You've got a very experienced He is relatively experienced in F1 now, of course, came in 2021. But you've got someone that is very experienced within the Red Bull team sphere.
Setup, yeah.
And no, it's a great backup option.
100%, yeah. I want to ask you a question about this. So obviously, as we know, RB are the sister team to Red Bull. What we've said on the podcast in the past that actually we think it's unfair to other teams in some sense, because, you know, why should you be allowed to have that sister team? Yeah. No one else really does. What would your thoughts be if actually F1 changed it, that actually each team did have a sister team? I know that mean a hell of a lot more cars, but do you think that would be something which would be good for the sport?
No. I think that would be terrible for the sport. Imagine in that case, right, in that instance, you effectively cut the competitiveness in half. And you could argue right now that, well, it wouldn't make too much of a difference because realistically, you've only ever got four competitive teams anyway. And, you know, McLaren have actually been out of that for a long time. So you could argue, really, for the last 10 years, we've only had three competitive teams. But let's pull McLaren into the mix because for the, you know, best part of this millennium, they have been involved. But it would completely eradicate any chance of us getting more teams in. You know, realistically, it sets the bar to five maximum because RB are never going to compete with Red Bull, right? It's just never going to happen. Let's say Mercedes brought in a little Mercedes junior team or whatever, right? They're never going to compete with Mercedes. Let's say Ferrari bring in a Fiat team or whatever. I don't even know if they're related. I'm just thought of another Italian car brand. But, you know, they would never be on the same level because Ferrari is always the number one team. You're always the sister team. So, yeah, it would be great for getting young drivers in, but that's not what the sport needs. I think we want, like, we've always said, if we had 10 teams that were winning, if every single team in a season was able to win a race, how sick would that be? If you allow every team to have a sister team, and that's how the sport is run. So you've got 10 teams, say, and five parent teams and like five children teams. The sport would be washed.
No, agree. Me asking that question isn't me going, I would like it. I think it would be.
I'm not completely against the idea of like a team being able to have it. Like, I don't think RB is necessarily a bad. If RB were consistently the worst team on the grid, right? They were always last in the constructors. It was merely just a vehicle for Red Bull to get drivers through. And don't get me wrong, it is a vehicle for Red Bull to get more drivers into the sport and then hopefully through to Red Bull. But RB, AlphaTauri, Toro Rosso, however you want to call them, have always been like fairly competitive.
But we have also seen over the years that, you know, RB, or even when they're AlphaTauri, did help out Red Bull in certain situations within races. So
that should be categorically banned.
Yeah, like, but we have seen it. We've seen it that, you know, it's happened.
Well, I mean, we speculate.
We speculate.
There are things that you look and you think, that's
what was the most
dodgy.
Common one? What was that one? Was it Miami?
When
Tsunoda came? No, it wasn't.
It was a night race.
No, I think it...
I'm sure it was a night race. It was last year, was it not?
No, this was in the... Because I'm talking about the one where Yuki came in.
Yeah, and then
sent him back
and then
out again.
He broke down.
Yeah, that was like 20...
Zandvoort.
Was it? That was like the 21 season.
I'm sure it was Zandvoort.
Yeah.
No, it was 22, was it?
Was it 21? 22? I think it was probably 21. I can't remember which one. 21, 22. If you know which one we're talking about, do comment down below. But that was evident. And you can't argue... You can't say to me that's not... No, that didn't. They just wanted to get him out there, see if he can continue.
Having them as like a tool to be able to benefit the main team, I think, is wrong. Like, that shouldn't be allowed to happen because it's just...
But we know it does. Having RB there is a positive to Red Bull on the grid. It just is.
Yeah, but to some extent, because it's not like the RBs are ever competitive enough to race Red Bull's rivals.
No.
If they were like quick enough to slow down a Mercedes, a Ferrari, a McLaren, then I would say, yeah, but they're not. So I don't really see the direct help to performance in a race.
Yeah, fair.
And that's where I would say, granted, there could be speculation that things have taken place where we're like, was that set up? But you would not have a whole other team in the sport to purely put a car in the wall just to benefit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no.
Your main team.
Yeah, that's fair. Do let us know what your thoughts are on that. Do you think each team should have a sister team, or do you think you do agree with Luke and I that actually it'd be ridiculous? Do let us know. Right, George Russell has dubbed his new teammate Kimi Antonelli as such a fantastic driver as a pair get to work together for the 2025 season. George has said he is such a fantastic driver. He does not have the experience yet, but I'm sure he will get up to speed very quickly. He has already integrated so well. We have both been racing from a young age, and we know what needs to be fed back to the team. He's young, but his opinion will just be as valid. Look, I think we've said before, haven't we? We're excited to see what Kimi can do. It's a big step up for him. Losing a driver, a seven-time world champion in Lewis Hamilton, was always going to be a big loss for a team like Mercedes after all the success they've had. But actually, you know, George is still very young. He's getting better and better. He's been getting more equipped with this Mercedes car and the team. He's now got that responsibility of leading that team as such and being a support to Kimi Antonelli. But I'm excited to see what Kimi can do. And he is a fantastic driver. He's shown that in F2 and all of the work he's led up to F1.
He kind of showed it in F2.
Yeah, I mean, that car wasn't great. He still got wins and...
Yeah. I think based on the hype, I was expecting more from him in F2. I'm not going to like use that as a bias into this season. I still think he's going to perform well. I think George will perform better. Kimi's 18. What do you expect? I don't think he's going to come in like... I don't think he's going to come in and drive like a young Max Verstappen did. I don't think he's going to... Here's my thing. Like, and I'm not saying I hope... Either way, like, you know, I always hope the best for most drivers, to be fair. But if you're going to allow a seven-time world champion to leave your team for a young driver, you better pray to God that he is going to turn into everything you said he was going to be or thought he was going to be. So there is a lot of pressure on him. And I think as an 18-year-old, he's got big shoes to fill.
Mm.
Like huge shoes to fill, the biggest shoes to fill.
Okay, so if you're Mercedes and your team, you know, your Toto Wolff,
mm-hmm.
What are you expecting of Kimi Antonelli in his first season or two? Because, you know, replacing, as we said, Kimi Antonelli with a seven-time world champion in Lewis Hamilton, you must be thinking we need some title success. And how long do you give Kimi Antonelli for that? Do you give a couple of seasons to gel in the hope that George Russell will bring that success?
Kimi Antonelli, you have to give him at least 2 years, right? He's young. He's going into a top team.
Mm.
He's not going to win. I mean, firstly, the car's not really equipped to win a title anyway, but I don't expect him to be on George Russell's level for the next 2 years. But what you do need to see is that he's got pace. And that might be that he's having an unbelievable race, but maybe he makes a mistake and he crashes out. I think for the first season, at least, that is fine. You know the risk that you're assuming by taking on a young driver with zero F1 experience. Okay. But there is going to come a point where, you know, if you've got 2 years experience in F1, you should be pretty comfortable in the car by then.
Yeah.
You were brought in to essentially be the next big star. You know, that everyone knows the reason realistically Kimi Antonelli came in is because Toto Wolff is never really over the fact that he let Max Verstappen go.
Mm.
Completely fine, right? You know, I'd probably be a little bit butthurt about that.
Max Verstappen.
If you had Max Verstappen on your books
or
on your radar
and you didn't
follow through on getting him into the team, yeah, that's a massive, massive error, right? And that, because he didn't have to get rid of Lewis Hamilton,
No.
He could have just got Max in and had the second. And who knows what history would look like if that was the case. I'm not gonna make any comments on that. But he obviously doesn't want to repeat that by missing out on Kimi Antonelli, who is clearly very well thought of. But Kimi has to deliver. You know, Mercedes have given him the opportunity. They need to give him the time, the guidance, the help. But it's not all just like sunshine and rainbows for him. He's going to have to show, even this season, he's going to have to show his potential. I'm not going to sit there and judge Kimi Antonelli every single race if he makes a mistake, if this happens. But I am going to judge him if his pace is consistently poor every race.
Yeah.
Because experienced, inexperienced, that you can't do that if you're coming into Mercedes in a top team. And maybe we'll use Lewis Hamilton as the example. That didn't happen with Lewis when he came into the sport. You know, Max went in at Toro Rosso. It's a little bit different. But Max was still incredibly impressive at Toro Rosso.
But we're expecting Kimi to have pace because that's ultimately what his one of his biggest assets is. Because
You'd hope so as any F1 driver.
No, I know. But one of the biggest things that we've seen, because when he tested in Monza, he was very quick. Obviously, I know he crashed.
He put it in the wall.
Exactly. So I'm expecting him to be quick, but it's how he deals with...
Yeah, and also, that was so early on in the session, just because he was the quickest man at that point. Like I say, I really hope the best for Kimi Antonelli, right? At no point do I want a rookie to come in and flop it. Mm. But I do think there's a lot of pressure on him, and ultimately he does have to demonstrate that he has got pace this season. He doesn't have to demonstrate unbelievable consistency. I think if he is as well regarded, he should demonstrate consistency at some point. He's going to make mistakes. That is completely fine. It's what is he doing outside of that?
No, I agree. Do let us know. How do you think Kimi will do this year? So, F1 teams are reportedly said to face more stringent... How do you say that?
Stringent.
That's one. Flexi wing test during the upcoming 2025 season. So, the FIA is determined to clamp down on loopholes in the regulations which allow for trick flex wings. The reports are suggesting that it would be a surprise if anyone would be able to play around with the flex wing designs as much as they have done before. Flexi wings become a major talking point towards the end of last season. As we know, McLaren were asked to change their rear wing ahead of the Singapore Grand Prix following questions over its legality from their rivals. And if you don't know what we're talking about, remember back in Baku last year, there was the gaps between their rear wing, which... It was questionable whether that gave them any performance.
Where, like, these little flaps at the end were coming up.
Yeah. So there was a lot of discussion whether does that give them a performance in the race or does it not? But they were asked to change it. But it seems like the FIA are clamping down on a lot of loopholes. So what's your thoughts?
Well, this is interesting. Because obviously it did cause a lot of controversy last year. And I tell you what I do love. I love how Red Bull are always the first team to come out and be like, hey, they're doing something illegal. Yet, I'm pretty sure that over the last handful of years, they are the only team to actually be caught doing illegal things. I do find it funny. But at the same time, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I understand it.
Well, even Ferrari were livid as well. So
it's
on board.
It's part of the game, right? But I was reading, actually, an article earlier about this, how the Red Bull were furious about a technical directive related to this.
Because I think some of it's completely changed all their designs, which they've been...
Because obviously, if you're going off the basis that actually what's happening over here is okay, right? The flexi wing stuff. Because it wasn't, like, the rear wing, I think, was deemed illegal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But a lot of the flexi wing tests will be to do with things like, if you're ever watching an onboard from the front wing, and you'll see as they're getting faster, the flaps kind of, sorry if you're listening, the flaps come down like this, right? essentially reducing drag, right? The more wind that's hitting it, they're getting flatter and flatter, so they can go quicker and quicker because there's less drag. A lot of it is to do with that also. So there was questions over the front wing of McLaren as well, and I think you saw it actually quite a lot in the Mercedes as well. There's flexed quite a lot. Obviously, if there's all this controversy going on in a season and the FIA don't come out at any point and say, well, actually, that's not allowed, of course, if you haven't got that on your car, you're going to be like, well, yeah, okay, we're going to start developing in line with that because why not? If they're now saying, right, just, okay, it's February now, let's say they said it at the end of January, 2025 development is going to be incredibly far ahead. I mean, realistically, the cars are done, right? They might, they're always developing, but like, if they, I'm sure if they said, right, we've got a race tomorrow, the teams will have 2025 car ready. You're now being told, actually, you can't do this, or there's going to be, you know, more stringent tests on this. You're going to be like, what the hell? Like, surely you could have given us, like, way more
warning. Bit more notice, yeah.
So I understand Red Bull being...
a bit peeved. You know,
yeah, I'd be vexed about that. We're like, Jesus Christ, guys, you could have given us, like, at least a couple of months warning. You know, season... well, we're testing at the end of this month. That's, and February is a short month.
And I think that's the thing, that's the frustration, isn't it? Because there's a lot of questions about, and we're not just talking about the flexi wing, but a lot of different processes we've seen over this last few seasons is something comes in place. Actually, that's legal. Okay, fine. Then all of a sudden, a few months later, no, we've decided that actually that's not legal now, so you can't use it. It's so much inconsistency, isn't there, with what is allowed and what isn't. And people, you understand why teams do use the loopholes, because actually you don't really get punished for it, do you? You can use it for a few races and then you're like, oh, you can't use that anymore. Oh, well, it's fine. We've had like three
and,
or four wins.
And that's great. You know, like, I don't think teams should be punished for, you can't punish innovation, right? If there's a loophole, it's a loophole for a reason. Do you know, if a team does something outright illegal, well, actually, mate, it says here in the rules that you can't do that and you have done it. Yeah, punish them for that. That doesn't happen either, by the way.
You don't get punished, no.
But loopholes are great. I love them. I love it when a team's like, oh, we've done this. And, you know, and in this article is, it was Andrea Stella saying, we realised that aeroelasticity had unexplored potential, and so we pushed like crazy in that direction. Great, right? They identified an area in which hadn't been exploited by other teams. I'm sure they looked at the rules incredibly closely and thought, actually, like, there are things that we can do here that are really going to help with the stability of the car in low-speed corners, are going to reduce drag when we're at high speed. And they did it. The issue is the FIA coming out with a stricter technical directive 1 month before the season is to start?
You don't mind, do you? If you find a loophole and it's allowed and it's within the rules, keep it.
Yeah,
like, own it.
Look at the DAS system by Mercedes. Great, right? It was eventually deemed, well, they changed the rules, so it was deemed, like, not legal. But it wasn't something that was illegal. It just came through like this, where they're like, no, that's not allowed. And then when the technical directive changed, I think they had it for the whole 2020 season anyway. Yeah. I think technically they could have carried it into 2021, but they said not, they weren't going to.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand the frustration over stuff like this, because you spend so much time. Again, if Red Bull have then... Look, Andrea Stella is saying, like, look, we found this area. We pushed like crazy down that route, right? And they were allowed to use that all season. If Red Bull have now pushed down that route, and maybe they've pushed even further, now they're thinking, oh, great. We've really focused on this area, and you're now telling us that actually what we're doing might not be legal. It was when we were pushing down that route.
But that's what I mean. If things are deemed that you're allowed to use them, then just own it and stick with it. Don't keep changing rules every few months. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I do think... I do also find it strange sometimes when a team does innovate and they're like, no, you can't do that. We're going to change the rules. Why?
Well, you had rules in place. So if the rules are in place that actually...
let them exploit it, at least for the season.
Yeah.
Like, well,
but if it's innovation and it is not outside the rules, or, you know, it's legal, allow it.
Yeah,
like, but because somebody's found innovation which other teams haven't done, it's kind of like, whoa, no, actually, we can't keep that because it's unfair on the other teams.
All it's going to do is make the cars quicker. It's going to make the racing better. It's going to make...
Yeah.
You know, that's how the sport works. So I don't know. I'm not a massive fan of, like, over-regulation. And,
I like innovation.
Yeah.
Let
them do their thing.
Right, George Russell is back in the news. As we know, Valtteri Bottas is Mercedes' new reserve driver for 2025.
He is indeed.
George Russell was asked about that, and obviously he was asked about, you know, his incident in 2021 with the crash with Bottas, and are they friends now, and all of that stuff. George Russell was like, yeah, we're all good, we're all fine. But he said he's really excited for Bottas to join because obviously he's now got that experience of the Ferrari engine. As you know, him being with Stake last year, mm-hmm. he's now got that further knowledge of how that engine works.
Yeah, this is what happens.
Yeah. Right? So he thinks that type of knowledge and experience will be really useful to Mercedes for this year and the upcoming seasons. So it is good. And we've said before, isn't it, you know, for Mercedes, having someone like Bottas who knows that team, who's been there, who's had so much success there, and going away and getting further experience, maybe not as successful, but still gaining experience from other teams, it's only going to help Mercedes, isn't it?
Yeah, and I would be amazed if George Russell had come out and said, like, no, we're still just not over it. I mean, look, it was a crash that ultimately was George Russell's fault, right? Mm. And then at the time, he slapped him on the helmet and called him a prick or something, which I'm sure landed George in a lot of trouble. I'm sure George Russell was made to apologise to Valtteri Bottas. And
he would have had a race ban by now.
He would have, yeah, for something like that. Oh my God. Yeah, no, he would have been kicked out of the sport.
He would have slapped him. That's one point.
They would have hung him. They would have. But like Valtteri Bottas is, firstly, seems like a cool guy, right? He's an actual adult, right? Mid-30s, whatever. George Russell was a young man. He, as a young man, sometimes you act like what we call here in the UK, a twat. And that's what George Russell did, you know, in that instant, he was a twat and it was his fault. I'm sure Bottas and him made up relatively quickly. They were all part of the same team anyway. George was part of that Mercedes team. And I'm sure, yeah, why wouldn't you be excited to have someone like Valtteri Bottas as a reserve driver?
Yeah, no, I agree. I know you're probably going to say this. I can guarantee you Luke will say, wow, this is how much we've come to now with this news. Mm. So can you tell me who is the official F1 partner for the 2025? It's a luxury fashion brand. Have you seen this?
I think I did. I think it's Louis Vuitton.
It is. They've signed a 10-year agreement to become the official partner with a deal which is reportedly worth as much as $1 billion.
Which is great, because now none of us can afford to buy merch. What a stupid idea.
Give it to someone like Nike or something.
Yeah, just... Oh, that. So what does that mean, though? What does it mean?
It just means... In all honesty, I don't know. This comes as part of a wider deal with Louis Vuitton that will bring a number of its luxury brands to the sport. So, yeah, I agree. F1 merch was already expensive as it was.
Yeah.
But now...
Now it's made by Louis Vuitton. I'm going to have to sell my house to buy a T-shirt.
We're going to be wearing these hats for the next 10 years.
Yeah, no, they'll be relics by the time we're done with them. I mean, great, you know, like, okay, it's a money sport. I just hope it, like, I know, we're being facetious. Like, I'm sure it's going to have zero impact on the cost of merch or whatever. Because... I can guarantee you that Louis Vuitton will not be making F1 merch, but they might do some cool collaborations, which is great. I mean, I won't be buying any of it because who the fuck can afford that? But cool. I mean, I saw the... I'm actually not sure if it was an official picture or an edit. There's a really cool edit of like an F1 tire with Louis Vuitton like rubber imprinted on it.
Oh yeah,
it looked really cool. Okay. But look, ultimately, it's a cool brand to
partner with.
To have on board.
So Christian Horner has been back in the news, and he's been discussing Johnny Herbert's FIA decision, because obviously FIA have parted ways with Johnny Herbert as one of their stewards for 2025. So Horner was asked about this because obviously, and he was said, Johnny Herbert was right to step away from his role with the FIA as he was confirmed as no longer between a steward for the upcoming season. Horner said, firstly, it has absolutely nothing to do with Max Verstappen, but it's absolutely the right decision.
I mean, the fact he's had to say that, as in, I'm not saying it has anything to do with Max Verstappen. Like, I don't think Max Verstappen would, I don't think he cares about anything enough to be like, get him out.
No, but obviously there was criticism from Johnny Herbert to Max Verstappen last year. But like Horner said, you cannot have stewards working in the media. It's totally inappropriate. You're either on the sporting regulatory side or you're on the media side. And I agree with Horner there, because you can't be impartial, can you? You can't be fair. If you're a steward and you have these opinions, you're always going to have opinions about drivers. But if you're actively speaking about them in the media, people are never going to truly back your decision.
Yeah, I mean, I get your point. I do. Every steward, every FIA steward, every footballing referee, every rugby referee, everyone in the world has an opinion on something. Every single FIA steward has an opinion on the drivers, right?
100%.
I personally have no problem with Johnny Herbert being able to express his opinion in a, as you know, wearing the cap of a media personality, but when he's in the FIA steward's room, I want him to act with impartiality. And I like to think that he's got the integrity where he actually does do that. So
you would hope so, but as a team, you've got to have that full.
Yeah, but then Christian Horner expects, you know, earlier we spoke about a sister team and using that to benefit your main team. Well, when those accusations have been made, he's come out and said that's ridiculous. So he expects us to come out and believe things, that allegations that are made against him. But, you know, to say Johnny Herbert, it's unprofessional because you're either on one side or the other, I don't necessarily agree with. And, you know, fair enough, he probably stepped back, you know, just for the sake of the sport. It's just easier. But I do find it interesting. The FIA stewards are volunteers. You've just spoken about Louis Vuitton signing a deal worth up to £1 billion with F1. Why don't we pay stewards? Why don't we have like a consistent team that is paid, employed?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's maybe something to think about. Because Johnny Herbert might not need to work as a media personality.
If he was, yeah. No, fair point. Do let us know what your thoughts are on Johnny Herbert getting binned from the FIA. Binned, a bit harsh, isn't it? Right, Adrian Newey again has pointed out that Fernando Alonso's tally of 2 world championships doesn't reflect his ability at all. So, as we know, March the 3rd, Adrian Newey will be starting with Aston Martin as their new managing technical partner. And he said, Fernando...
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is. Adrian Newey said about Fernando has been a bit of a thorn in his side throughout the years. It'd be good to be working with him. I've got a huge amount of respect for Fernando. The fact he's only won 2 world championships on paper doesn't reflect his ability at all.
What do you mean on paper?
Well, it's just on paper that he's only a 2-time world champion.
Well, on and off paper, he has only won 2 world championships.
Do you think, obviously, as we know, like he says, he's been a thorn in Adrian Newey's side over the years and Red Bull's side. Do you really believe that Fernando Alonso has that ability to go on and win a world championship still?
I honestly don't know. Do you know what? It's so hard to tell. It's been so long, right? And you could use the age thing, right? He's a little bit older than Lewis Hamilton. But Lewis has won championships much more recently than Fernando Alonso. He hasn't won anything since 2006, is it? Don't get me wrong, he's had a good few title battles since. But realistically, not since 2012. No. You know, that was the last time he was properly involved. And then he's been at some shoddy teams. You know, he was at McLaren when they were really down bad. Left the sport for a little bit, came back, perhaps hasn't had it the best. I'd like to use the 2023 argument of actually when Aston Martin got that car firing, he was there or thereabouts. So
I think he's good enough to go on and get wins. I don't think he has it in him to go on and win a championship, but I think he still has it in him to pick up wins.
I think it depends how you look at it. If he was driving the Red Bull of Max Verstappen in 2023, he would have won the championship.
Hands down.
Fernando Alonso would have won the championship. If it was 2021 and he was in the Red Bull of Max Verstappen against Lewis Hamilton, he wouldn't have won the championship.
No. I think Lewis would have still won that. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Lewis fan. I think Lewis would have still won that.
Yeah, I think... And, you know, the Lewis argument now is really hard for us to have because I haven't seen him in a competitive car since 2021. I think if Ferrari have a competitive car this season, it's going to be really telling. And you could say, well, that's the same argument with Fernando Alonso. The only difference in the argument is that Fernando's a little bit older and it's been so much longer. You know, it's been like 13 years since Fernando Alonso was in a title battle that I'm just not sure if he'd be able to go head-to-head with a Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc. I'm not going to say Lando Norris because I think Fernando still shows that he's a ruthless driver and he's not shown any reason to suggest that he's dropped off in form. He's just not had a car.
Okay, answer me this then. In equal machinery, who's better, George Russell or Fernando Alonso?
Oh. Now, like, if in their prime, Fernando Alonso, that's not even a question.
But right now.
Right now, oh, it's so tricky. And this is anything I say is obviously not going to be fact, right? It's so hard to tell. I think your money's got to be on George. He's younger. He is performing at a really good level. You know, I'm not exactly a George Russell fan. I like George. You know, I always back the Brits. But I'd have to see Fernando Alonso in a competitive car to truly be able to make an informed call on that. Because I will use 2023 as a reference. Mm. When that car was firing, the Aston Martin, Fernando Alonso was very good.
Mm.
Very good. And he was clear of Lance Stroll. That's something I'm never worried about. You know, Fernando Alonso could race until he's 70 and he'll still be better than Lance Stroll. But George Russell is and has been for the last 3 years performing generally at a very good level. 2023, a bit of a blip for him.
See, it's interesting. My argument would be I'd put my money on Fernando winning out of him and George simply because that Aston Martin last year was poor. Yep. And he still maximized everything he could out of that car.
He did do very well.
And I still think he has that potential. So in equal machinery, I would still go with Alonso over George.
It's purely because of his age. Even if this was like 5-6 years ago, you know, and I'll use the example that I used last week. George Russell did a very, very, very good job against Lewis Hamilton in the same machinery. If I'm going to sit here and say I think Lewis Hamilton would beat Alonso in the same machinery, I have to say that I think George would give it a very good go and my money would probably be there.
Mm.
If it was 5-6 years ago, I would likely be saying Fernando Alonso. Assuming George is still the same age. Obviously, George is like fucking 10 years old.
Yeah, fair enough. Ago. Do let us know what your thoughts are on that.
I know a lot of people are going to hate that, and that's fine. Like I say, I want to see Fernando Alonso in a quick car because I want to truly gauge how good he still is.
Yeah.
Because don't get me wrong, Fernando Alonso, on his day, and certainly in his prime, unbelievable. And if Fernando Alonso was in his prime right now, holy smokes, we'd have a good grid.
Yeah, I agree.
But he might still absolutely have it. And that's why I want Aston Martin to have a good car next season, because I've got no problem seeing Fernando Alonso fight at the front.
No, I agree with you. Right, two more news stories. But before we get onto those, as we know, Lewis Hamilton crashed last week in testing.
Yes. I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to come out with. Get ready for it, guys.
Luke doesn't like these things because he's like, I don't believe it. Right.
Are they omens? Is
2007, he crashed his McLaren MP4 in Valencia. He went on to win a title in 2008. In 2013, he crashed a Mercedes 004 in testing.
004?
W04, whatever. In 2014, he went on to win a title. This year, he crashed a Ferrari SF23 in Barcelona testing. I still think he's going to win it this year. But potentially, he could be winning a title in 2026. I know you don't like this type of stuff.
I don't. Because you think it's all bollocks. Crap. That's why. It's just...
Lewis Hamilton is either going to win a title this year or he's going to win a title next year. But he will be an 8-time world champion.
How has this year got anything to do with it?
I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. So, Red Bull F1 principal Christian Horner deserves credit for how he handled the shittest year of his life, according to Günther Steiner. He said, he always stood up for it. We don't even talk about the beginning of the year, his private stuff. But then going into it, it's pretty clear they had that one driver in the team. They couldn't defend the Constructors' World Championship because they only had one car. But how Horner handled himself throughout the year deserves credit. Which...
Yeah, probably won't disagree with that. I mean, he... Look, regardless of what your thoughts are on the situation, and ultimately, we are never going to truly know what went on there. It's always a really awkward situation when it's he said, she said, and, you know, like, you never want to discredit anyone for, like, you never want to call anyone a liar. And that goes on both, you know, you don't want to say Christian Horner's coming out and saying he's lying or whoever's making the accusations is lying. But he had a very tough time publicly, obviously, because of his status. He had to come out in the media and speak about things. He was asked awkward questions. You know, he had his wife showing up to races with him. I think she deserves a lot of credit for how she handled the situation. And yeah, I think you saw at the time he tried to take a back step to really, like, at least take the spotlight away from him and just let it sort of be about the racing.
But you've also got to remember, it wasn't just that side. It was, should he leave his job? Then you're losing...
Well, it was also he's going to lose his job.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then, but then all of a sudden you had the whole thing of Adrian Newey leaving. Yeah. You had... Other
Jonathan Wheatley. A lot of there was obviously all the rumours coming out that, you know, was it Toto who came out and said, or George, we get like a bucket load of CVs from Red Bull engineers. So yeah, it was kind of like everything.
Jos Verstappen, Helmut Marko beef against Christian Horner.
The personal life and private life stuff and the work life and you know, even the performance on track and so yeah, tough year for him. Whether some of it was self-induced, you know, I'm not saying I necessarily sit here and feel sorry for him because I don't. And I'm far from the biggest fan of Christian Horner. But yeah, I'd say he handled everything reasonably well.
Yeah, fair play. Right, Alex Albon's F1 career prospects could be made a little bit more difficult if he doesn't fare well against Carlos Sainz in 2025, according to Johnny Herbert.
True.
He said, this season is a big test for Alex. He said, this is really where, for almost a second time, this is probably the real proper test of where, if he doesn't go quite right, it's going to make his career a little bit difficult. And we've said this on the podcast before. This is a massive year for Alex Albon. If he gets left behind by Carlos Sainz, there is really no more question about, is Alex Albon a top driver?
Yeah, it would just clear it up, really, won't it? He has to perform against Carlos Sainz, otherwise really, you know, he might get to continue at Williams for a good couple of years, but they will just look on to bigger and better things. And you know, he might have been great in a moment, because you know, Alex Albon is a good driver. I've got no questions about that. You know, it would be very difficult for him to be the worst driver on the grid.
Yeah,
right. But if Williams are serious in taking this team forward, he needs to be a very good driver. And we will see that this year, because we know Carlos Sainz is a very good driver.
Yeah.
Alex Albon has the question mark above him because he didn't succeed at Red Bull. And he hasn't had particularly great teammates at Williams, other than Colapinto. And it was a little bit close, but Colapinto is new, so it actually is Colapinto just this freak that is unbelievably quick? Or is it that Alex Albon actually just isn't that quick and we've seen him on par with a rookie? Carlos Sainz will be the true test.
Yeah, 100%. Do let us know what your thoughts are on that. Right, hypothetical question time. Brilliant. Luke, you're the team principal. Last week was a bit of a tough one for you.
Okay? It was. It was a rough week.
However, you get to pick two drivers and one reserve driver. So they've got five drivers you can pick from, right? You're sitting down, the board have come in, okay? The piece of paper is given to you. On that list, you've got Daniel Ricciardo, Alex Albon, Sergio Perez, Nico Hülkenberg, and Pierre Gasly.
It's like the most mediocre list of all time. But I think it's fairly easy.
I'm not being funny. It's a better list than last week.
It is. Nico Hülkenberg is on there, for sure.
Okay. What, as a driver or reserve driver?
Driver.
Okay. Interesting.
Is Danny Rick, Gasly and Albon, who else?
Perez.
Yeah, okay. Well, that, I mean, that was easy. Perez is out. I think the tough one...
You don't think having like a race winner, someone who's been in a big team, who's won constructors, would be worth having in your team?
Well, I mean, you're probably thinking more reserve driver here.
Well, this is your team.
Like. I mean, the reserve drivers, I don't think...
Look, I'm with Louis Vuitton. I'm one of the sponsors. I'm just sitting there waiting for you to tell me who your drivers are.
In your gold-plated suit. I think the tough one really is second driver between Gasly and Albon. I think I'd probably stick Gasly in the car.
Okay, so your two drivers are Hülkenberg and Gasly.
That to me is a very solid partnership.
Yeah, who's your reserve driver?
Oh,
so you got two drivers there who are race winners.
Yeah, but they're not the same anymore. They're just not.
Okay.
Danny Rick, I'm not sure what I can get. I would maybe look at Danny Rick to think, merchandise sales. Perez obviously brings in sponsorship.
I thought you were going to say merchandise. He's the one who's selling the merchandise for your team.
Oh, yeah, no. I'll just have him running the stalls. Yeah, I reckon he's great at bartering. No, I get the point about... I just think, you know, I mean, at this point anyway, Danny Rick has said I'll retire. Like, it clearly just wasn't...
Yeah, but he's willing to come out of retirement for your team.
I'm not even sure I'd...
What's your team called again?
Luke's? Martin's Motors. I'm not even sure I would trust his input anymore. And he'd be a great person to have around. He really would be. You know, if it was 2-3 years ago, Danny Rick... But so would Perez. Perez would be a really appealing... Perez would probably be in a seat if this was 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
I'd probably take Albon as my reserve driver. He's got enough experience in the sport and he's young, so he gives me a bit of a backup as well. You know, realistically, right, if it goes wrong with Hülkenberg or Gasly, I am not going to want to bring Perez or Danny Rick into that seat.
Okay.
Yeah, they might bring the race wins, the experience, the constructors titles, you know, if you're Sergio Perez. But if it goes wrong with, you know, let's say Hülkenberg is really underperforming, well, actually, I'd rather have an Alex Albon to call on than a Perez or a Ricciardo.
Okay, so you're at your press conference, you're announcing your drivers and your reserve driver. Your final decision is?
Hülkenberg, Pierre Gasly, Albon reserve.
Nice. Let us know what your thoughts are on that. Right, just quickly, guess the driver. Okay, that's not how it works. Every time. Right, so this driver's first year in the sport was 2009, and his last one was 2020.
Just trying to think of the 2020 grid now. I might need another one.
Okay, top threes. He had 10 of them.
Oh, why can't I think of the... I'm really trying to think of that 2020 grid. And I just cannot...
Another clue?
I think I'm going to have to.
Grand Prix is 179.
Shit, that's a lot.
Mm.
Oh my God. Romain Grosjean.
Well done.
Oh my God.
Absolutely smashed that. Well done. Right, this next driver. First year was 2001 and his last year in the sport was 2021.
His first year was...
2001 and his last season was 2021.
That's got to be Kimi Räikkönen.
It is. Well done. Right, this one. First year, 1991. Last year, 2012.
Bloody hell. 1991. And his last season was what?
2012.
That's got to be Michael Schumacher.
It is. Well done. Why can't I...
I'm pretty good at this game.
I'll be honest with you. You are. Right, this next driver. First year in the sport was 2000, and his last year was 2017.
This could be Jenson Button.
Have you seen this? This is ridiculous.
How would I have seen that?
This is impressive. Okay, finally. First year, 2019. Still currently in the sport.
Alex Albon.
No. So that means you get a guess. I feel top like threes, 26.
Ah. Ooh. No, that might not be enough top threes. Ooh. Okay, so now I'm a bit torn.
Okay, next one.
No, I might use a guess.
Okay.
I'm going to say, nah, because that's not right. That's not right. 2019. Is that,
I need a guess.
No, I need another one.
Okay. Grand Prix currently 128.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't help me because that's just multiplying the years by the amount of races per year.
I can give you another guess.
Well, George Russell is on my mind.
It is not George Russell.
Yeah.
So poles, 10.
I'm pretty sure Charles Leclerc came into the sport in 2018.
Okay, do you want another guess?
So I'm going through thinking who it can
this
be.
This is
right?
Potentially the longest you've ever gone with any
yeah,
of these.
Yeah, I think this is so. Like, can I just? I'm going to talk you through what I initially thought.
Okay.
So when you first said it, it was in my head instantly. I was Lando, Charles, Carlos.
Okay.
Now I'm pretty certain Carlos Sainz came in the sport earlier.
Okay.
Of Toro Rosso. I'm pretty sure Charles Leclerc came in. In 2018.
Hmm.
And I'm certain Lando was in there before 2019.
I need a guess.
So that's
you're either a guess or you want a clue.
That's why I went for George Russell.
Do you want a clue?
Yeah.
So, wins 4.
This is one of the most difficult ones, I think.
Which is mental. Because I don't know how you got Jenson Button and Kimi Räikkönen and Romain Grosjean, but you can't get this driver.
Now I'm just going through the list. Who's got wins? Albon doesn't.
I need a guess.
Lando Norris.
Well done.
Fuck yeah. I swear Lando came in a year earlier.
No. God, that was a long one. Well done. Do you enjoy that game? You're good at that, to be fair.
I am pretty good. Do you know what? I genuinely find the like more recent ones harder.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm better with the older drivers.
You do seem to smash it. I mean, Jenson Button, how you got that, I don't know. That was impressive. Right, let's do some fan questions quickly, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so this is from Zeus. In a recent post,
the real Zeus?
No, I don't know. Don't think so.
Is he watching?
In a recent post, Lewis states he can't wait for the first race. Is this an indication that the SF25 is elite?
I don't believe he's driven the SF25, so I would say no.
No, but I think basically what he's saying is that, well, from what he's seen, is it from what he's seen around team, does he think that that's going to be...
No, I don't think there's... Would you not just be well excited? Like, Lewis Hamilton, who's openly said, like, it's always been a dream to race for Ferrari.
Yeah.
That makes complete sense. I'm sure it's every single F1 driver's dream. He probably just wants to participate in his first race for Ferrari. And there's so much more to be excited about, not just because it's Ferrari, but it's his first time racing in a non-Mercedes-powered car.
Yeah.
It's his first time in 11 years, 12 years, whatever, racing for another team. Like, there's so much to be excited about. I think it's not as cryptic as we... I hope it is the cryptic message that you're suggesting, but I don't think so.
No, I think it's more the fact he's just buzzing to get started.
Yeah, like...
By the way, that red overall, the 2025... Have you seen it?
Yes.
Looks sick.
There's actually two HP logos on it.
But the darker red looks so much nicer than the...
No, they look cool. And we've got the yellow helmet. And Charles' helmet looks cool as well.
It does, yeah. Johnny Dav 28 has asked, in Equal Machinery, does George Russell outscore Lando Norris?
Ooh. Tough one.
There's a lot of debate, you know, who's better, Lando or George. I think
they're probably fairly even matched.
I would say they're probably evenly matched, yeah.
It's going to sound like a cop-out, but I actually wouldn't know who to put my money on. Because...
No. I think they're both... prone to mistakes.
Yeah.
I think they're both prone to...
some extent.
Yeah, no,
but... think you overstate George Russell and his... Even Lando. Lando hasn't made too many mistakes.
No, when I say mistakes, but I mean errors within the races.
Like, where? What? Lando's biggest error last season is, for whatever reason, he couldn't get the car off the line when he started in P1.
Yeah.
I don't...
George Russell, Singapore, you know, there's always...
In 2023, he made one error and you're going to hold him to that.
Yeah.
What about Lewis Hamilton in Imola, 2021?
Yeah.
Is he prone to errors?
Yep, they all are.
What about Lewis Hamilton, COTA, 2024?
I haven't got an issue with George Russell. I'm just saying.
You've got an issue with George and you've got an issue with Lando. You might as well just admit it.
I do not.
George Russell has not made many mistakes in his Mercedes Formula One career. Fact check it. He hasn't.
Mm.
I know we all hold on to the Singapore one because firstly, it was funny. It was funny. You know, he had Lewis breathing down his neck and on the last lap of the race, which he would have got a podium, a very well-deserved podium, he just drove it into a wall. Mm. And it was comical. But it's very unreflective of his driving ability. And he's actually a very consistent driver. His mistakes probably come from actually just randomly like driving into the side of people.
Yeah. I don't know. In Equal Machinery, for me, I think George would probably edge it.
I would probably say that my money would be on George.
Yeah.
But I think that would be a good battle.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, no, I think if you put George in that McLaren of last year, would he have done a better job than Lando? I would probably say yes.
One thing that George is really impressively good at that goes completely under the radar is his ability to make strategy calls when he's in the race.
Yeah. No, right? I agree. He's not afraid to make those calls.
And that is something that we don't see in Lando. Mm. But I would say that often what we probably do see from Lando is more raw pace.
Yeah.
But we saw McLaren lose a handful of races due to strategy calls. I think if you had someone like George Russell in the seat, then it would make a difference.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You know, George Russell in that McLaren would have won at Silverstone because he would have... He's got that ability to think in those instances without his emotion.
Yeah. No, I would agree with you on that. This isn't necessarily a question, but these are some of the comments that have been on our... There was a if Hamilton has a competitive car this year, and if Ferrari is able to not ruin every race with their strategy, and if Max Verstappen has a competitive car, we will have a real battle for the title. Max, Lewis, Charles, along with Norris and Piastri, should give us an excellent season. I don't disagree. I think we've said, haven't we, on the podcast before, 2025 has the potential to be a phenomenal season. We thought 2024 was good, mm-hmm. with the different race winners and all of that stuff. 2025, although McLaren seemed to be the ones who were the better odds of winning, but that's simply because they won the Constructors last year. We don't know.
We could be on for an all-timer. I've said this for a while. We could be. So strap in for this season.
And we normally do have a good season before the regulation changes.
Yeah, it's like, great. So Thanks, guys. But yeah, that does normally seem to happen. So, although not in 2013. 2013 was we peaked in 2012.
Yeah, no, true. I mean,
2013 was kind of just Seb dominance.
Final question. Obviously, I ask you who we think is going to be better, but this week we're going to look at stake quickly, okay? Obviously, Hulkenberg versus Bortoletto.
I thought you meant like ribeye. So.
No. Who do you think, will Bortoletto be matching Hulkenberg, do you think? Or do you think it'd be quite easy for Hulkenberg?
No, my money would be on Hulk. Hulk had a very impressive season last year. I think Bortoletto's got a high ceiling. Mm. I just think you'd be silly to put your money on Bortoletto at this point. But I am really excited to see Bortoletto, and I hope he does really well.
No, I agree. Right, that is the end of the podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, if you're watching on YouTube, leave a like, subscribe if you're new. We're back next week for a brand new podcast. And I'm hoping over the next 2-3 weeks, you will start to hear a bit more news about what we've got coming up, because we're excited, and we're excited to share it with you guys. So, yes, we shall be back next week for a brand new podcast. Have a great week, and we shall see you later. Bye-bye.